Pies, pies, dulce pies. I'm thankful that comes down from the Father. I remember before God saved me, I was a man most miserable. A man most miserable. Made a profession of faith when I was 9 years old in Bible school. And the preacher asked us kids if, you know, who all wanted to go to hell. And nobody wanted to go to hell. Nobody raised their hand, of course. Well, who wants to go to heaven? Well, we all raised our hands. So, well, if you want to go to heaven, repeat after me. And I repeated that prayer and had a false hope in my heart for years. Became rebellious in my teen years. Still was in church, been baptized, member of the church, singing in the choir, but I was still living in sin, fought with sin. When I was 19 years old, the Lord began to convict me. And I would tell God, God, if I'm lost, save me. Nothing ever happened. You see, I never would confess that I was lost, you see. But I remember one September day in 1980 when God dealt with my heart in such a way. 2 weeks, I was the most miserable man in the world. But I'm glad on that Sunday I found peace. Peace. This time when I went to God, I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. Save me. And God in His grace and mercy saved me. Took that burden away and gave me peace in my heart. And there's nothing like it. No matter where I go in the world to preach, I've got peace in my heart. Knowing that I'm under God's control. No matter whatever I face in Mexico or wherever I go, still God is with me and He's able to keep me and care for me. And like Daniel in the lion's den, even the lions can't touch you. As long as you're in the will of God and it's not God's will for them to harm you. And you know, people say, aren't you scared when you go to Mexico? Cartels all around you. I'm not really scared. I know my life is in the hands of the Lord. And I made things right with Him a long time ago. And so I praise the Lord for His goodness tonight. Again, let me thank the church here tonight for, again, for your prayers and support through the years. And it's been 35 years, almost 36 years. And you folks have been faithful in praying for our ministry and helping us in the work. And I praise the Lord for it. And last night we talked a little bit about the mission trip that I just got back from and what God did on that trip. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about the ministry that we're doing now. Back in 2009, you remember when we established our work here in Lenoir, North Carolina, among the Hispanic people there. We were there from 1996 to 2008 is actually when we turned the work over to a Mexican brother there in Lenoir. We organized the church, put him in as pastor, and then the Lord moved us in 2009 to go to South Texas to work with a mission organization there, working with pastors in Mexico. And working with those pastors in Mexico and seeing all of the needs that they had in their churches and in their lives. And God began to burden my heart about the ministry that we're doing now. And if you haven't picked up one of our brochures, please do. The title of our ministry is La Gracia Hispanic Ministries. La Gracia is the word for grace. So it's Grace Hispanic Ministries. And what it's all about, the verse that we use is that, declaring the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Spanish language. It says, Revelation 5:9, Thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. So God has a redeemed people out there that we need to get the gospel to. And that's what we're doing now. We're working with pastors and churches, local churches in Mexico, helping them with their needs. Like I said last night, I'm 62 years old. And there could be possibly two more church plants that I could do in those years that I may have left, may not have that long left. You know, only God knows. But if I can help these other men that are a lot younger than I am, getting their ministry started and work with them and those local churches coming alongside them, and God can bless and we can start a lot many more churches than that. So that's what we're praying for. Right now, we're working with 8 men in Mexico, and more churches than that. But these are the men that God's put in my heart for now to work with, and coming alongside them, some of the needs that they have in their churches. You know, sometimes they get stuck. They get stuck in their ministries. Like I said last night, the ministries that we're working with are small village churches, very few people, but yet they're still trying to reach their people with the gospel. And sometimes they get over in a ditch, and they need just a little push to get them out of that ditch. And that's what I want to be there for, to help them out of a ditch. I was thinking, I remember back when I was 19, 20 years old, and bought me a four-wheel drive Jeep, and I thought I could go anywhere in that Jeep. And it snowed one day. I thought, boy, I'm going to go out and play in my Jeep. Well, I played just enough to get off into a ditch with that Jeep. Put it in four-wheel drive, no problem. I'm getting out of the ditch, you know. I could go forwards, I could go backwards, but I could not get out of that ditch, no matter how hard I tried. All I needed was a little push. And when I got the little push, I was out of the ditch. And oftentimes in ministries, churches get in a ditch, and all they need is a little push. And that's what we're there to do, help these pastors with, you know, give them a push. Sometimes they get in a building program, and they spend up all the money that they have, and all they need is a little push to get them going again. And so we try to give them a little push to help them to get started back in their building, whether they're building a sanctuary or building a Sunday school room, or they need a vehicle repaired so they can evangelize other villages and things. So we're there to try to help them, and also help them with their theological training and teaching with pastors' conferences and good commentaries and books we put into their hands where God can speak to their hearts and teach them. This past time, several of the pastors wanted some study Bibles, so we were able to get some study Bibles and take down to them, along with the commentaries and other books that we were able to distribute among those pastors. And again, these are books that they really can't afford to buy. And, you know, making $100 a week, and Matthew Henry commentary that probably all of us have, you know, would be a half a week salary to them. So whatever you make a week, take half of that, and that's what it's going to cost them to buy Matthew Henry commentary. And so we're able to put books like that into their hands that they wouldn't be able to buy otherwise. So continue to pray that God would help us to come alongside these churches and pastors and work with them and help them. Our goal is to continue planting churches in Mexico. And that's what our goals are. And, of course, I've been down twice this year. And Lord willing, I'll be going back again next month and preaching in a missions conference. So pray that God would be pleased to help me as I go back to Mexico in November. Going to a city. I'm going to be a city preacher this time rather than just a village preacher. And we'll have more people there to minister to. And they'll be a little more well off than the village preachers are. But they all have a need. And especially in these colonias that we're going to be evangelizing in and working in, people there have souls just like anybody else that need the Lord. So pray that God would be pleased to help us to be a blessing to the pastors that will be there. And also if we go out of, and doing evangelism this time like we did last time I was there, that God would be pleased to open hearts to receive the word of God. And that God would work in them and give them faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be in prayer for us and for our ministry. If you haven't got one of our prayer cards, I've got those back on the table also, the brochures and the prayer cards. You can find those there on the table. Tonight I'm going to be looking again in the book of Acts. Like I said last night, if you want to learn something about missions, just go to the book of Acts. The whole book is about missions from beginning to end. It's all about missions. So tonight we're going to be in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Begin reading tonight in verse number 1. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer and a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Paul, who also is called Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And when Paul and his company loosed for Paphos, they came to Perga and to Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Like I said last night, when we talk about missions, there's so much confusion in the world today and in our churches about missions. What is missions all about? What is mission work all about? You know, Jesus made it easy. When he said in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 16, in verse 15, where he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's pretty easy to understand. That's what missions is all about. That's the command that the Lord Jesus Christ has left to his church. And let me say to you tonight that it's more than just a suggestion. It's a commandment from the Lord that we be involved in missions. But yet we look around tonight and we see a lot of churches who know absolutely nothing about missions. They don't even support one missionary. And that's a sad thing, because they're really not a New Testament church. Because a New Testament church should be involved in missions, in winning people to the Lord and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's what the whole book of Acts is about. It's about missions. It's about taking the gospel into all the world. Now, the word preached is found 21 times in the book of Acts. And that's what missions is all about. As we said last night, we send missionaries, but we do not send missionaries without the gospel. That's what we're sending. We're sending the gospel through missionaries. All types of different missionaries that do different things, but the thing that we're interested in is sending the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking the good news of the gospel into the world. Taking it everywhere and preaching it to every creature. In the verse that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 15, chapter 16, verse 15, there's two commandments there. One is to go and the other is to preach. You're to go and you're to preach. Well, he tells us where to go. He says all the world. So all the world is the mission field. And he tells us what to do, and that's to preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. So it's pretty clear. That's what missions is all about in that verse. It's going and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, missions has a threefold purpose. Number one is for the glory of God. Number two is for the salvation of sinners. And number three is for the strengthening of the brethren. We saw that last night. Sometimes we forget the third thing. Strengthening the churches that are already there. Strengthening the brethren that are laboring for the Lord. But what we're doing when we take the gospel into all the world is we're making the unknown God known. That's what Paul did in Acts chapter 17. When he went into Athens and they had an idol up there, a statue up there to the unknown God. And Paul, the Bible says that he was stirred in his heart. Because they had been sitting in darkness for all of that time, for thousands of years, sitting in darkness, not knowing the true God of heaven. They had a goddess or a god to everything, but they did not know the true God of heaven. And Paul was stirred in his heart because they did not know the Lord. So he began to share with them. He says, I want to introduce you to the true God of heaven. And he went all the way back to creation and began to explain who the true God really was. And God in his grace and God in his mercy began to open hearts of the people there in Athens. And God was pleased to save sinners. You remember, this is part of Paul's second missionary journey. You know, when they were there, they retraced their trail of their first missionary journey. Instead of going clockwise, they went counterclockwise. And Paul intended to go over into Asia. And but God said, God shut the door. As Brother Ben read last night in the night, come over to Macedonia and help us. Well, Paul had no thoughts of going to Macedonia at that time. But God began to burden his heart and gave him the vision. And that's where they ended up, going to Troas and crossing over the sea and landing there in Macedonia. They began to preach there in Philippi, and God saved the people. They went from there to Thessalonica, and God saved the people. From there to Berea, and God saved the people. From there, they went down to Athens and over to Corinth, and God was moving in the hearts of the people. And then they went to Asia. They went over to Ephesus, and God, he was there for just a short while, and he says, I'll be back. I can't stay now, but I'll be back. And he came back and stayed for over 2 years. Preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Making the true God of heaven known to those people. Well, what was the purpose? Well, the purpose was to glorify God. That God would have worshipers. That God would have men on earth worshiping Him and exalting Him and glorifying His name. And that's part of what we do as a church. Listen, we're here for the glory of God. We're following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says in John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And that should be my desire, and that should be your desire. To glorify God in everything that I do. And to do the work that God has given me to do. And as Paul would say, I finished my work. And that's what I want to do. I want to strive to finish the work that God has given me to do. So we're in the ministry of missions, number one, for the glory of God, but then the salvation of sinners. As we said last night, where's our passion for missions? Where's our compassion for those that are lost? You know, we are surrounded by lost people every day, aren't we? Do we really care about their souls? I mean, people are dying and going to hell, but do we really care? Do we have a compassion? As Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 9 was going to those villages and preaching the gospel and teaching the people, and he saw that they were hungry, and he saw they had needs, and he had compassion for those people. And that's one of the things that we're lacking in our day is a compassion, a love for people around us, praying for them, and praying that God would open doors and open opportunities for us, that we might be able to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about all the people around the world tonight that are bowing down the false gods and idols and worshiping them, we should be concerned that God would be pleased in His grace and mercy to send somebody to them with the gospel that they could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So therefore we must preach the gospel. We must take the gospel to those people. And even though many call it the foolishness of preaching, but it's not foolish. It's the power of God into salvation. And we need to be faithful in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is still a supernatural work of God. Still a supernatural work of God. We're not really called, we use the word winning souls. But we can't win a soul. Men are dead in trespasses and in sin. They can do absolutely nothing, and we cannot quicken them. It takes the Holy Spirit to quicken them and bring them out of that dead state that they're in and give them faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm glad that God has ordained that some of those people would believe. That's what the scripture says here in Acts chapter 13, in verse number 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as God had purposed to save, they believed. They put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should encourage me and encourage you to get the gospel into all the world, because God has purposed to save the people. And He does so through the preaching of the Word of God. And God does so for His glory. Why is He saving sinners? So that men may worship Him. That men may worship Him. Now, within the last several months, I did a study in our church, and the Lord showed me something that made me shout a little bit in my study. You probably already know this, but let me share something with you in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This was something that has skipped my mind, and I just saw it this year. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And when I was teaching through verse number 29, talking about foreknowledge, how that God loved us before the foundation of the world, and God chose us in Christ Jesus, and how God had predestinated us. And then we see the purpose of it there in verse number 29. He says, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, we all belong to the same family. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but He's the firstborn. And what about the firstborn? He's the preeminent one. He's the one who gets the glory. So even though we stand before God as brethren, as children of God, but yet the focus is on the firstborn. Everything's around the firstborn. All of the glory is for the firstborn. The inheritance is to the firstborn. And therefore, all the children of God will gather around Him. And it's going to be for His glory and for His praise. And that's why God has foreknown us and predestinated us. That's why God has just called us and justified us. And one day will glorify us. It's all for His glory. It's all for His praise. Because God has purposed that from the beginning. That one day heaven would be filled with people from every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. And they're all going to be around the throne of God, worshiping the Lamb and crying out praises to the Lamb of God. That's the purpose of taking the gospel into all the world. That Christ will be praised here on the earth, and one day He'll be praised again there in heaven by all the redeemed of God when we gather together there in heaven. That's what missions is all about. We're going out and reaching those that He has purposed to save with the gospel. We preach it to every creature because we do not know who they are. We preach the gospel to every man, praying that the Holy Spirit would save those that He has purposed to save. And He will. He will save all of those that He has purposed to save. And Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, I must bring in. So He must bring them in. It's been purposed, it's been ordained that He would bring them in. Therefore, we take the gospel into all the world and we preach it to every creature. And God uses the word to save sinners and to bring them into the fold. But this thing of mission, God has ordained missions. God has ordained missions. Well, where does mission start? Well, we see it here in Acts 13, don't we? Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch. There's where missions start. It starts in the local church. God has ordained the local church. God has put His power upon the local church. God uses the local church to go out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The mission work started there in Jerusalem. And we know how they sent the gospel out from the church in Jerusalem, going to Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, the gospel arrived there at Antioch. And God put together a church there in Antioch. And there we find the Apostle Paul. And we find Barnabas laboring in that church, teaching the Word of God and helping them in the church. And God was pleased to separate these two men to go out and to be missionaries, to go out and to preach the gospel to every man, to travel many miles, to travel to many different places, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at the text that we read tonight, there's five different things there that speak about missionaries and missions. The first thing we'll see tonight, we won't have time to get through all of them because really each one is a sermon. And we see the missionary's call in verses 1 and 2. We see the missionary's commission in verse number 3. We see the missionary's communication in verse number 5. We see the missionary's conflict in verses 6 through 10. But I love the last one, the missionary's conquest. Amen. We will not be defeated. In the end, Christ and His church will be victorious. And I'm glad that we have a part with that in verses 11 through 13. So tonight, let's look first of all at the missionary's call. Again, there's five of these brethren that are working together there in the church at Antioch. And it says in verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So we see that Barnabas and Saul were called to this work. There's three things that the man of God needs to be sure of. Number one, he needs to be sure of his salvation. Number two, he needs to be sure of his calling. And then he needs to be sure that he's working where God has placed him. And we're living in a day when people are not emphasizing the call of God to the ministry. It's just not being emphasized in our day. Just anybody can be a preacher. Just anybody can be a missionary and sent out. That's not what the scriptures teach. The Bible is very clear that there is a distinct calling. And when God calls a man, he gives the gifts that are necessary to that man to do the work that he's called him to do. So man has to be called of God to be a pastor, to be a preacher, to be a missionary. That's a calling from God. You just don't decide to be a preacher. You know, that was the last thing I wanted to do in my life was to be a preacher. I mean, when I was in high school and it came time to give a report to the class, I did not want to stand up before a class and give a report. Just go ahead and give me a zero. You know, I'm not getting up there. And the times that I did, I was sweating so bad, my knees were knocking, and, you know, it was pathetic. I couldn't speak in front of anybody. But listen, God had called me. As Paul said, from my mother's womb, He separated me to be a preacher, to be a missionary. And long before I knew anything about it, God had already purposed that I would be a preacher. When I was born in 1961. I was born prematurely, weighed 4 pounds. The doctors told my mom, said, your son's probably not going to make it. He's born early. We don't have the technology to do the things that they do today. He's probably not going to make it. But what they didn't realize is that God already had a purpose for my life. God had already separated me from my mother's womb to be a preacher. And even though the doctor says there's no hope, but God said, yeah, there's a hope. I've got a purpose for him. I've got a plan for him. And now for the last 40 years, I've been preaching the gospel. Been around the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you tonight, there's nothing like preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that I would rather do tonight than to stand and to preach the word of God. Exalting Christ and lifting Him up, even though there's a great responsibility, knowing that one day I'm going to stand before God and I have to give an account for every word. I have to give an account for every sermon, for every lesson that I've taught. I'm going to stand before Him and give an account. And sometimes that's a little scary. But oh, there's nothing I'd rather do Sometimes people look at my life, especially those in my family. They look at me and they say, oh, what a wasted life. You know, you could have done great things in other areas, but look at you. You've struggled all your life financially. You know, you've never settled down in one place. We've moved 12 times since we've been married. And that's just a wasted life. To me, it's not. How could it be a wasted life serving the Lord? How can it be a wasted life doing what God wants you to do? I mean, there's no greater life. There's no regrets in serving the Lord and trying to do the best that I can do to honor Him and serve Him. But let me ask you tonight, what are you doing for the Lord? What does God want you to do for the Lord? There may be some young people even here tonight that God wants to use you. There may be some people here tonight that God's been speaking to your heart and you've been running from the Lord. You will not surrender to the Lord. I ran for over a year from God calling me to the ministry. Didn't want to do it. But God in His mercy continued to call, and God in His mercy began to speak. And one day I surrendered to the Lord to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember I got up on Saturday night. I said, tomorrow I'm going to tell the church. You've called me to the ministry. You've called me to be a preacher. Got to church on Sunday morning and I chickened out. I thought, well, maybe not. Not today. What in the world did the pastor preach that Sunday but the call of Samuel? Samuel. Samuel. And I'm hearing Leon, Leon. And God in His mercy was speaking once more. And I said, God, I'll do it. And told the church, I said, I feel like God's called me to the ministry. And I remember everybody coming around and shaking my hand and said, we already knew you were called. We're just waiting for you to tell us, you know. But God was gracious and allowing me to be a part of something so great. And God allowing me to be used of Him in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The calling of a man is something that's real. Paul and Barnabas was separated, it says here, to the work whereunto I have called them. He didn't call the other men, but he called Barnabas and Saul. And God in His mercy called me to the mission field. I told you last night watching the news and the earthquake in 1985 in Mexico City, and God began to burden my heart about going to the mission field. But you know what? Years before then, I'd already surrendered to the Lord. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'll be willing to do it. And God took me up on that. Maybe tonight you would say in your heart, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, God, I'm willing to do it for your glory. You know what? God may take you up on it. You know, is God working in your heart? God called them to a work. And let me say to you tonight that ministry is work. Some people see us up here for an hour on Sunday mornings, another hour on Sunday night, and they say, boy, I'd like to do that. Would you? I mean, would you? I mean, you see the good side of it. But it's not always easy. The hours we spend studying and praying and just to prepare one sermon. And, you know, God calls us to the ministry and He gives us the gifts. And then God places us in a place and we have to be faithful to do what God would have us to do. To go wherever God would send us. I remember in the Civil War, if you remember the Battle of Gettysburg, Colonel Vincent told Colonel Chamberlain there on the Little Round Top, he said, you're the flank of the Union Army. You cannot move from this place. If you move from this place, the Confederate Army will overtake the whole Union Army here at Gettysburg. You have to stay here. And you remember what happened there that day. They charged that hill all day long, trying to take that flank. The Union Army there ran out of ammunition. And they're saying, Colonel, we're out of ammunition. What are we going to do? He said, and he gave the cry, bayonets. You know, we cannot move from this place. We've got our command. We cannot move from this place. If we have to stay and fight with bayonets, that's what we'll do. And that's what they did. running out of ammunition. They put their bayonets on the end of the rifles, and they won the victory on that hill that day. Let me say to you that when God places you in a place, you're there until God says it's time to move. And then you can move. God places you in a place. God has placed me in a place. And God has placed some of you in a place. And God will let you know when it's time to move. Like I said, we've moved 12 times since I've been in the ministry. But listen, God's always faithful to take care of his men and provide the needs that they have. But let's not only notice something about their calling, let's notice something about their commission in verse number 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. It was the local church that sent them away. They realized that God had called them to this work. And them, by laying hands on them, were saying to these missionaries, we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be helping you. Remember, you're going to be out there fighting the warfare, but we're behind you, praying for you and helping you in all that we can do. They fasted. They prayed. Then they laid hands on these missionaries and saying, hey, we're going to be with you. All that we can do. Praying for you. But you know, in our day, a lot of times when missionaries are sent off, they give them a sending off, then they never think about them again. They never pray for their missionaries. And they could care less what's going on with them on the mission field. While those missionaries are out there laboring and fighting hell by the acre, they're back at home enjoying the things that they're doing, never spend time praying. Never spend time communicating with those missionaries. Never spend time trying to encourage those missionaries. But let me say to you that we're all in this together. You see, it's just not the missionary out there working, but he needs a support group behind him. Someone that is interested in what he's doing, that'll be helping him financially, that'll be praying for him as he goes into the battle, lifting him up and praying for him. And what you need to remember is this. Missionaries are just normal men. Paul and Barnabas were just ordinary men, just like we're ordinary men. But God, he chose them for this work. And God has chose us for the work that he wants us to do. We're just ordinary men. And we need the prayers of the saints. We need the financial help of the churches. We cannot do the work that God has called us to do without help from the churches and prayers from the churches. Communication. When's the last time you ever just sit down and maybe text? You know, we can text now. When I started, no such thing as sending text messages. But you know what? With the brethren in Mexico that I'm working with, I'm constantly, you know, on the computer sending them messages. Hey, brother, I'm just thinking about you. I'm praying for you that God will help you as you preach. They send me back messages. I'll be preaching such and such a date. Pray for me. On those days, I try to send them messages every afternoon. Praying for you tonight. I pray that God will give you grace and God will give you power as you preach tonight. And I do pray for them, you see. We need to communicate with our missionaries. We need to let them know that we're thinking about them. We need to let them know that we might encourage them. You don't know how many times those missionaries get discouraged. I mean, they feel beat to death on the mission field. They get so down, so discouraged, and they feel so lonely. Battles within and battles without. And you don't know how much it helps to get a text. You don't know how much it helps to get a card. You don't know how much it helps to get a phone call. Brother, I was just thinking about you and the work that you're doing, and I want to tell you I appreciate you, appreciate what you're doing. And that missionary will perk up. He'll perk up and he'll encourage him. And I don't know how many times that even we've been on the mission field and, you know, for months and years and not even hear a thing from anybody. And you're thinking, I wonder if anybody even remembers we're out here doing the work that God's called us to do. So you see, there was a commission. and the laying on of hands and sending them out saying, hey, we're going to be with you. We're going to be praying for you. We're going to be supporting you. And then we see the missionaries' communication in verse number 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. They preached the word of God. That's what we're called to do. Not to preach our opinions, not to preach our ideas, but to preach the word of God. We're not called to be entertainers. We're called to preach the word of God. And we need to be faithful in preaching the word of God. We need to preach Christ. We need to preach the gospel. The sad thing in our day, there's a lot of missionaries that don't even know what the gospel is. I mean, my home church, when our pastor, he became the new pastor of the church, and he didn't know any of the missionaries, so he sent out a questionnaire to those missionaries. Wanted to know where they were doctrinally and what they were doing. And one of the questions on the questionnaire was, what is the gospel? And he told me, he said, Leon, you wouldn't believe the answers that I got back. These missionaries are out there on the mission field and they don't even know what the gospel is. Listen, that's what we're called to communicate. We're called to preach the word. We're called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what is the gospel? Well, if you look over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 15, I think you can see the gospel there in one verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for whom I am chief. That's the gospel, you see. You're declaring three things here. Number one, you're declaring all men to be sinners. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And the Bible is very clear. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's nothing good in man at all. He's totally dead. He's totally depraved. And it's just the grace of God and the mercies of God that God would have anything to do with mankind. But aren't you glad that it says there's also a Savior, that He sent Christ Jesus into the world. He came into the world. Christ talking about His deity. Jesus talking about His humanity. That God became flesh. He came into the world and God the Father gave Him a body and put blood in that body. And He took that body to the cross. And He offered Himself up as a sacrifice for our sins. And that's what Barnabas and that's what Saul of Tarsus or Paul went out to preach. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Declaring men to be lost and declaring men to be wicked and vile in sin or breaking the laws of God. And they were in need of a Savior and one came to the world. Jesus Christ, the Messiah that many of the Jews had rejected and they had even crucified, saying that Jesus Christ came into the world for a purpose, and that was to save sinners. He came to save sinners. And in dying on the cross, taking our sins upon Himself, and all the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered in the hands of men, that wicked men would take Him and beat Him, that they would plait a crown of thorns upon His head and take a rod and beat those thorns into His brow. That they would strip Him of His garment and take that Roman whip, that cat of nine tails, and beat Him like no other man had been beaten before. I mean, blow after blow after blow, ripping open His flesh and tearing His muscles. The blood was splattering all over the place. But you know what? That really didn't have anything to do with our salvation. I mean, it has something to do with His sufferings. But oh, when He went to the cross, carrying the sins of His people, And there being raised between heaven and earth, and at midday, darkness fell on the face of the earth. And from that darkness you could hear the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was Jesus Christ suffering the wrath of God in our place. The Father sent His Son. The Son gave His life. The Father poured His wrath out upon His Son. That's what the gospel is all about. That Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And there's salvation in Him for all that look to Him, to all who believe in Him, for all who repent of their sins. They find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that He was the chiefest of sinners. And if God would save him, God would save anybody. And I found that true in my life, that God in His mercy and grace would save me. And I've seen it throughout my ministry. God in His mercy calling people out of darkness. God in His mercy delivering people from witchcraft and delivering people from idolatry and from adultery and from all types of sin. God in His mercy moving and calling them out of darkness to light. And that's the hope that we have, that God does have a people in the world that He's purposed to save. So what do? We take the gospel into all the world, preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and letting the Spirit of God work in their hearts. But let me say to you tonight that it's not always easy. It's not always easy. There's a fight. When they left, they went to Cyprus. They came down, they crossed over to the island of Cyprus. That was where Barnabas was from. He said, you know, they were led by the Holy Spirit. But Barnabas said, hey, let's go and preach this doctrine. Let's go and preach Christ to my family. So they crossed over and went to Cyprus. They went from one end of Cyprus all the way to the other. They was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God had a person there that He had purposed to save by the name of Sergius Paulus. God was invading that darkness with the gospel. These men were there on that island preaching the gospel. And it may have been, they may have sat in darkness on that island for thousands of years. But now the light of God's word has arrived, and missionaries were there preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say to you tonight that He would not give up His territory without a fight. And I found that true in my ministry. The devil will not give up territory without a fight. When we went to Mexico, actually moved into Mexico in 1989, man, I was so happy. We were finally getting there. I couldn't wait to get there. And then when I got there, I found out they don't want me here. You know, I thought, I can't wait to get here. And I got there, I was so happy. We don't want you here. Most missionaries, when they go to a foreign country, they look for a city because there's more conveniences in a city. And that's where they live. And they may minister out into the villages, but they don't want to live out in those villages. There's no conveniences there. The place that God wanted us to live, to work, I thought, okay, I'll look in those towns and see if I can find a place to move my family. At the time, we had me, my wife, and three kids. Went to one town looking for a place, couldn't find anything. Went to another town looking for a place, couldn't find anything. And God says to my heart, that's not where I want you to live. I want you to live where you're going to be working. So I asked permission, is there any place available here that I can live in this village? They said, all of the lots are taken. But the family that we were working with says, let me see if I can get permission for you to build on my lot, and we'll build you a little house here on our lot, and you can live with us. So he went to the president of the village and asked, you know, this American missionary wants to live here. Can we build a house for him on my land? And the president said, yeah, you can. So we began to dig the foundations and to get it ready to pour the concrete. I had a group coming from different places. They were going to build the house pretty much for me. Electricians, plumbers, block masons. All the materials were there. And one day I was out there. We were digging and a man stopped and motioned. And I went over to him and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm building a house." He says, "Do you have permission to live here?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do. The president of the village gave me permission." He said, "But I'm the new president of the village, and we don't want you here. You cannot build a house in this village. We don't want any Americans here, less a missionary here preaching the word of God." So I had to stop work and had to call the people and say, "Don't come. Don't, you can't come." So I said, "Now what do we do?" You know? And I said, "All I know to do is pray." So we went over to the church building. We began to pray. They said, "In 3 months, we're going to have a meeting here in the village. You can come, present your case to the village, and we'll take a vote to see if we want you here or not." So we began to pray and to seek God's face. See, the devil didn't want me there. He didn't want me there at all. They had no Baptist churches, even in that area, anywhere. The devil did not want me there. Three men, leaders of the village, they had already conspired to stand against me. And there was no way that I could win a vote if those three men stood against me. There was no way. During those 3 months, two of those men died. So now they're just down to one. Two of them's dead, so those two can't stand against me in the meeting. The third began to think about it. You know, these two have died. I'm the only one left. So he gets in touch with me and he says, "You have my permission." "You have my permission." So to hold a little bit of pride and hold faith, he says, "You can't use your blocks that you've bought. You're going to have to build it out of wood." So I had to frame a house and build a frame house rather than a block house, which is preferable there in that place. But you see, God, he worked it out, even though they did not want me there. And I remember all the mornings that I would walk to the store to buy things. And, you know, we didn't have refrigeration, so you had to go to the store every day and to buy things and bring things back to the house. And I would walk to the store and wave at all of my neighbors, and they would look at me like, "Die, you American." And I'm thinking, "God, I'm here to win these people to Christ. And I know Satan don't want me here, but God, help me. I know the scripture says he that winneth souls is wise. So I need to befriend these people. I need to win their confidence so they'll listen to what I have to say." And little by little, walking back and forth from the store every day, smiling and waving at people, every now and then I'd get a little wave back. And then before you know it, you know, they're waving and they're smiling. And they're sending kids to our Sunday school to hear the teaching of the Word of God. And then before you know it, adults are coming in to hear the teaching of the Word of God. And God is saving sinners, and God is drawing them out of darkness, and God is putting together a church there in a little village that you'll never find on a map. But God knew it was there. God had a people there that he had purposed to save from the foundation of the world. And God had prepared a missionary to go there to preach the gospel. And God in his grace and God in his glory moved in the hearts of the people. But I can't tell you the times, the battles that I've had to fight in preaching the gospel. One day we were in the mountains of Nuevo León. And I mean, it would be like going up into one of these, what we call hollers here in the mountains, and nothing there, no power, no running water. And you hang a lantern up in a tree and you preach to whoever who comes. And they had a man locked up in a building. And I'm curious about the man they keep locked up in a building. And I'm saying, "Is there any way to communicate with that man?" And they said, "Well, you might be able to communicate with him and you might not." Well, what I wasn't expecting was, time we started service, they let that man out of the building. And he was demonic. I'm telling you, he was demonic. And the whole time I was preaching, those demons were shouting at me, screaming at me. You see, they haven't had a witness there in that place. And people in a church said, hey, I want you to take the gospel to our people back in the mountains. So we were there evangelizing and preaching. And they turned this man loose. And there the demons are screaming at me as I was trying to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So flip over to Mark chapter 5 and begin talking about Christ and the power he has over darkness and over demons. And how he cast out the legion of demons. And the man would cry even louder. That's what was happening with Paul. That's what was happening there with Barnabas as they tried to share the gospel with Sergius Paulus. They didn't run. They didn't turn, even when the enemy came at them. But it says in verse number 9, then Saul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Like a boxer, like a wrestler, setting his eyes on the enemy. And God in his power and God in his grace moved and blinded this demonic man. And in doing so, the deputy saw the miracle and he saw that they had power that he had never seen before. And then he believed the message that they were preaching. So we see the conquest. There was a conflict, but it turned into a conquest. The missionaries came out victorious. God came out victorious. And God was pleased to save the leader in that area. And there's so many stories and so many things that I could say about the conflicts. But I don't want to focus on the conflicts. I want to focus on the victory. The victories that God has given us on the mission field. And over and over again, you hear missionary stories. And really, we don't like to give missionary stories. We're called to preach the gospel. But sometimes people just don't understand what's going on the mission field. But let me say to you, we've seen conquest over and over and over again. And even in what we're doing now, we're praying for God to give us victories in these fishing villages that we're ministering in the mountains where we're ministering in, and in places where we're going and preaching the gospel and teaching pastors and working with churches. May God in His grace and God in His glory help us to finish the work that He's called us to do and to be faithful in the work. But let me say to you again tonight in closing, we cannot do it without working together. We have to work together. Some of you would probably remember back in 1987 when a little toddler by the name of Jessica McClure out in Texas fell into a well. Went down 20-some feet, no way to get to her. News got out and people began to show up. They begin to dig down beside the well. Then they tunneled over into the well. They send a little skinny fella in. And he comes back out with the little baby. I mean, all night long they tunneled. All night long they dug. But it was a group effort. Sure, one man brought the baby out. One man got all the cheers for holding up the baby. They were cheering him for going down and getting that baby. But there was a whole group of people there working together. They were firemen. They were policemen. They were doctors. There were nurses. Somebody brought out their machinery. Didn't care what it cost. You know, we're here to help. We're here to do what we can do. And all of them working together rescued that little girl. But let me say to you tonight, there's people all over the world that's down in that horrible pit of sin. And they need to be rescued. And the only way that we can rescue those people is we work together. And sure, I'm the one that gets to go down into the pit. I'm the one that gets to go down and rescue. But let me say to you, I can't do it without your prayers. I can't do it without churches helping me financially. We're working together. And then in the end, we all get rewarded. In the end, we all get to share the victory. And we get to stand before Christ and worship Him and give Him praise. Thanking Him for what He's done in our life. And then can you imagine looking around and seeing those people that God helped us to rescue by preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad I've got a part in missions. You know, I'm a missionary, but yet I give. I want to give and I want to pray and I want to encourage other missionaries to be faithful to do what God has called them to do. Brother Ben, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the ministry here at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. I'd love to see all these chairs filled. I'm praying for the missionaries with Global Baptist, that God would be pleased to raise up more missionaries, that God would be pleased to send them out for His honor and for His glory, and for all the outreaches of revival literature in the Russian Bible Society. May God be pleased to bless and to help for His glory. I'm praying for you folks, praying for the ministries here, that God would be pleased to use you and to bless you in these days to be faithful to the Lord in doing what God has called you to do. And may God do it for His honor and for His glory.